I love you and I thank you for being here. I'm changing things up today. We sat in a different pew. I'm not turning this on, putting it on till I get up here. But I have a question for us to begin our lesson, and that is, if I was going to ask each and every person here what their concept of their worldview would be, you know, what's your worldview? What do you view the world as? Do you view it like Jesus does and did? Do we use Jesus to see the world in our lives? Obviously, look at this. All the different countries. When I punched this up and did a little bit of Google searching, boy, there's all kinds of maps with different people's ideas and understandings. You got freedom and money and maps that show where everything is, and you got political affiliations around the world, all kinds of different maps of the world. Of course, this one just really kind of shows, obviously, spots that are green and the spots that are kind of desert a little bit, but it's the whole world. The world. Now, when I think of that, when you think of that, you think of the ground and the beautiful wonders God has created. Well, when I started searching what the opportunities in God's Word that mentioned the world, obviously this passage of Scripture in John chapter 17 comes up. And it's mentioned the world is in this passage multiple times. We'll read them this morning. But it's funny, when Jesus is talking about the world, he's praying. And this, we just read this morning, this passage this morning, okay? Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, now, we bow our heads and close our eyes. Okay? There would be nothing wrong with lifting up our eyes. Okay, other than the lights are bright on me here. You guys want to get the light brights. But it's unique that as Jesus talks about the world, he's praying. And I'd like for us to consider that. This morning, okay? Jesus, if you open your Bibles by chance, most of our lesson texts come from John chapter 17, but in the headers of my Bible it says, Jesus prays for himself. And the next passage we'll look at, it says, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then it says, Jesus prays for all believers. So the lesson that we're going to look at this morning is how Jesus prayed. As he was praying for all these things. And he includes the world. So if your world concept is understood through the eyes of Christ, meaning if it's not, maybe this passage of Scripture this morning would help you a little bit for that perspective. Now in this passage, when Jesus prays for himself, the only thing he mentions about the world is that he was there before the world was made. But he talks about the authority and eternal life and the true God. And he talks about the true earth and how we glorify the Father. I ask us, do we ask when we pray for God? You know what? For a long time, I have thought it was selfish to pray for myself. I still struggle with that sometimes, folks, when I pray. Because I want to be, you know, pray for other people. I want to pray for other situations. I want to pray for things, you know, or situations or struggles. You know, we have a prayer list, you know. Never on our prayer list is it pray for ourselves. That kind of sounds selfish, doesn't it? But yet Jesus prayed for himself. And I use that as a point to say there's nothing wrong with asking God for help. I have a hard time asking God for help. Maybe that's why this project I'm on, it has so many struggles. Because I need God's help. I cannot get people to behave like I want them to behave. I got to. I'm turning this job over to you, God. I'm going to do all I can do, but I'm turning it over to you. So far, things have worked out. Doesn't mean it's been perfect. Doesn't mean everybody's doing everything they're supposed to do. It just means in the end, in the big picture, okay? Maybe in the eyes of Jesus, things are going to work out. God's promised that in his word. But Jesus prays for himself, folks. Brothers and sisters, do we pray for ourselves? What do you pray for? Do you pray for God to be glorified in your life? Do you pray to be a benefit to those around you? Do you pray for opportunities to share your faith? Do you pray for the strength to resist and recognize Satan when he's tempting you for the day? Part of the model prayer, Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Continue in John 17, it is written, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given to me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Jesus said, "I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the believers, the disciples. Those people that are following. Those people I know." So I ask us, we end up in our prayers have a lot of generic praying. And there's nothing wrong with praying for those folks fighting for our freedoms or those people that are in higher authority. We have scriptures that mention all those things. Okay? But how often do we sit down and say, "I'm going to open the bulletin, and am I going to pray for each and every person that's on here that's asked for prayers, typically. How many of us have things we like prayed about that aren't on this list? How many of us don't want to put our name on this list very often, even though we got things to pray about? Okay? Just difference. It's not a right or wrong. So even if you don't have this list, remember who sits in what pew. I'm going to pray for DC and his family. And I'm going to pray for Monique and her family. And I'm going to pray. And go right down the list. And if I wonder what that person's name is. I better look at it. I better find out. His name's Brian. Go pray for Brian and his family. Joe and his family. Pray for each other. Jesus specifically said, "Thank you for them in my life." As we gather together this morning, I sat here this morning and thank God for each and every one of you. For your faith. For you old folks that kept your faith. For you young folks that are starting new in your faith. For you folks that are bringing your children and your grandchildren to share your faith. So they hear about Jesus. Thank you. For you ladies that keep your faith. With or without your spouses, thank you. For that. For you young people that aren't sure for yet, you want to follow Jesus, thank you for being here. There isn't a better place you can be in your life. You may not understand that right now, but that is true. I thank you for that. Jesus is excited when people are listening to him. I get excited when people listen to the Word of God. But if we talk about in the world, okay? It's good to pray for the world. It's good to have cares about the world, folks. But that's just kind of a generic prayer. And Jesus prayed a few generic prayers, but the majority of his prayers were specific. "God, I ask you to help Bob this day. I ask you to help me not have a hard heart. I ask you to help me forgive that person if I run into them today." That's what Jesus did. You know, there's nobody else in the world gives us an example of forgiveness like Jesus. Nobody. You can go down through the Hall of Fame of faith. Okay? They walk by faith and they are obedient to God and they were righteous because of that. But you know what? It's tough to forgive. Only Jesus came and said, "I'm going to forgive all people for everything they do. They hate me, they spit on me, they don't believe in me. They live in sin and disgust. I still love them. I still forgive them. There's been times in my life I had a hard time forgiving somebody for not using her blinker. Hey, dummy, don't you know the law? That's not how Jesus wants me to be. I hope that person recognizes that that's a dangerous thing and I need to pray for them. Somebody passed me today on the way up 39. I was telling Brother Phil about it. You know, we all get in a hurry, sometimes more than others. I understand. I'm driving plus or minus. I was staying with the flow of traffic. Let's just say that. I don't want to be convicted. Okay? Up 39. There's three or four cars of us spread out, plenty of, you know, we got plenty of room in between us in case something happens. Looking out for each other, don't even know each other, and we're showing the love of Jesus. Here comes this car behind us. Woo! He comes out around, looks around me, and there's nobody, so he comes around me. And then he goes around a couple cars up in front of me, and he's gone. When he say he, I just noticed it was a he after I got up the road a little ways, because there's Johnny Law, and he pulled over. Right on 39. But when that person drove around me, I prayed for them. And I've got in the habit of praying for people that drive around me like that when they're in a hurry. Rather than be angry, rather than be resentful, rather than telling them what number they are in your life. Okay? That's what the world does. We're not of the world. We're children of the Most High God. I need to forgive them. I don't know if that's a doctor or a nurse on the way to emergency surgery. I don't know if it's a person having an epileptic seizure. I don't know if it's a person that's drunk that needs to run off in the road in a ditch and stop so they don't kill nobody else. I just need to pray for them, for their safe travels. That's all I need to do. And I did that this morning. I'm sharing with you. For whatever reason, that cop was there at that time and that person got stopped. It may have saved a life. Okay, it may have just been a lesson. There may have been no cop there, and they just kept on driving, and everything worked out fine. But I prayed about it. Pray individually, folks, is what I'm getting at. Sometimes generic prayers, okay, are good, and it opens our mind and our understanding. But I think specific prayers, as Jesus has prayed, for the world. Okay? Continuing, Jesus said, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those to whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they also may be sanctified by the truth." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times. The world. Okay? What is our, when I come back to my first question this morning at the beginning of our lesson, world concept. Worldview, what's your worldview? Now obviously, we got to live in the world. And God has created this beautiful world, okay? But God has not created sin. So if we're not of the world, we're not of sin. We're not of the flesh. We're guided by God's Spirit, God's Word. That's the difference between those folks here. Okay? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. To recognize, not, you know, what happens, folks, if we think that we shouldn't be in this world? I know we say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Okay? Should we hate this world? God created it. Should we hate our lives? No. Should we think it's a test? And every day is oh me, oh my, and walk around like the, what's the donkey in the cartoon? Eeyore. Yeah, thanks, brother. Eeyore. Or would we rather be Winnie the Pooh? Where's the honey today? Woohoo!
Where's somebody needing to hear God's saving word and God's saving grace today? Woohoo! How can I help the kingdom of heaven today? Woohoo! Who can I pray for today that God would help? That's what Jesus did. The world. What is your world concept? The world has hated Jesus. When we recognize somebody that's not following Jesus or hates Jesus, okay, that's going to happen in our lives. Or they just don't want to follow Jesus. It's going to happen. Pray for them. But recognize that. Brother Brad mentioned this morning about how people lose their faith in our Bible class and why people turn away from their faith. There's a lot of good Christian people that have turned away from the true faith because they have one foot. Boy, if I stuck my foot in that water, I'd get some attention, wouldn't I? They got one foot in the water and one foot out of the water. Or one foot in the world and out of the world. They write a couple books. They make a ton of money. A bunch of people start inviting them in to worship with them outside of Christ, outside the church. Next thing you know, they start believing in some of those half-truths and false doctrines. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. Doesn't work that way. Jesus specifically says there's a dividing line. Those that are of the faith and those that aren't. Those that are in Him and those that aren't. Those that are following the Word of God or the truth or not. And when we talk about the world amongst ourselves in the church, it means the saved and the not saved. It doesn't mean in a tree and not in a tree, or on a lake and not on a lake, or on an interstate and not on an interstate, on a dirt road or not on a red dirt road. God has created us to enjoy this beautiful earth. Do you thank God every day in our lives? Do we thank God every day in our lives for His creation? Beautiful trees. I'm in the building industry, folks. That's been my career. That's where I've chosen, and God's blessed me with that career. Okay? All materials that it takes to build a building. That it takes to build the cars that we get back and forth to work. All the raw materials. The roads we drive on. The technology. You know? God has given us all the things that we have. Created all those things. What happens if God didn't create the resources to have plastic? God said, there's going to be no plastic. I'm not going to make anything that could be made into plastic. Huh? Or copper. Or silver. Or gold, or steel. All the things that we use to make things, God's given us here. He's so way beyond our imagination. Great and good. And the things He's created for us. Or we just recognize that there's a 2-year-old having a bad day. I want you to know, when I was a 2-year-old, I never fussed at all. I repent. That's probably not correct. But I can't remember, so I really can't tell. So, you know, that's the neat thing about young. You can't remember, okay, that far back, the mistakes you made. Good thing they're forgiven by the blood of Christ. And when you get old, Bob, okay, you can't remember. So the mistakes you made, I'm just kidding a little bit. And as you're in your midlife, then you remember all the mistakes and the sins you made, you're still forgiven. That power of the blood of Christ. is unbelievable. His forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, is far beyond what the world would understand. And continuing John 17, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Now there's two or three passages, there's two or three spots here, that the world may know. I didn't bolden them. I missed them. I caught it. I almost catch everything I miss when I read it out loud. Jesus prays for himself, for all the goodness of God, and to be able to glorify God in the things he does. Then he prays for all his close disciples, the people he knows. And then he starts praying for those people that are going to be believers after the fact. They're going to listen to his words. Not only are those you and I he's praying for here, but just like us, praying for the children. When's the last time we've sat down and prayed for each and every one of the young people here? We have plenty of them. Be thankful for that. When I say young people, anywhere from 2 to 15, 16, 17, 18. How many of you have worshiped places where there are no children? That happens when you travel. It's sad. Pray for those folks that are hungering and seeking after righteousness. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I heard a guy mention about praying for people to come. When's the last time you prayed for somebody to come here to worship service on Sunday morning? Stranger? Somebody seeking? Maybe a neighbor? Maybe a friend? I've got a neighbor that's mentioned a handful of times he's going to come up here because he don't want to go where there's rock and roll bands and all that. And I know some of his history from years ago where he's worshipped before. Maybe I'll call him and bring him up here one of these days and just say, hey, I'm going to pick you up this morning. Come on up. I need to pray for him because he's still seeking. And we pray for ourselves, for each other. Something, if anybody noticed, very unique what Jesus prays for and mentions in this whole chapter. This is the last passage from this chapter this morning. Jesus prays for unity. Unity, 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 a bunch of times, that they may be one. What's one of the biggest struggles with getting somebody to follow Jesus? Oh, all them churches are hypocrites. Which one's the right one? I can't choose. Okay? What kind of, when you, somebody says that to you, you say, what kind of truck car do you drive? Did you not buy a car because there's too many cars and you couldn't choose? That's an excuse people use for not coming to worship service. I don't know which one's the right one.
I didn't like that one. Okay? So I'm going to go to the car dealer and I'm going to drive a car, and I didn't like that car, I didn't like that truck, so I'm going to quit driving. That's the rationale, folks, people use it in the world. In the kingdom of heaven, the rationale is, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm thankful. I need to be where his people are. I need to be reminded of the blessings and favor and the goodness of God. I need to be reminded of the commitment I made to walk by faith. I need to be reminded that that's the best way to live. I had a guy tell me, he preached a gospel meeting years ago, and I was only a Christian about a year. And he was from Johannesburg, South Africa. And his name was Brian Vanderspay, I don't want to say it, but anyways. He said in his gospel meeting, every time he preached, he says, even if somebody was to prove that Jesus was a fake and everything was false, it's still the best life that I've got and that I can live. Obviously, that's false, because you're not going to prove Jesus not to be the Son of God and the Word of God not to be true. Do you believe in your heart, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, that Jesus has the power to change your life daily? Are you picking up that cross daily to rely on Jesus and walk by faith? How much do you talk to him? How much do you pray? Have you prayed for yourself? Have you prayed for those brothers and sisters in Christ that gather here in this congregation? Are you praying for seekers, for those that are lost? Those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness and looking for the truth. This slide is going to give us, we're going to look at what Jesus said about the world. World concept. I want my world concept to be like Jesus's. I don't know about you. You can have your own if you want. And we all have different views of the world, obviously. But hopefully, being children of the Most High God, we want to have the best world concept that God wants us to have, like Jesus had. I want to be like Jesus. Okay? Except for sandals. I'm not really a guy to wear sandals, so I'm going to make an exception there. I'm just kidding. Okay? There are things that we do in our lives that we say, I'm not doing that. I plead with us this morning to pray like Jesus prayed. I plead with us this morning to have a world concept and understanding as Jesus did. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, in the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It's just amazing how Brother Brad brings up a passage in Bible study off the top of his head, and it's part of the lesson this morning. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that the light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. What a good world concept there, Jesus. Instead of judging the world, I'm here to help save the world. Instead of tell people about their sins, I'm here to tell them about Jesus and how to get rid of their sins. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I do not give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
I'm just reflecting on the peace that Jesus gives compared to the world. I like getting amped up, folks. Most of you know that by now, okay? Whether it's by a little caffeine or a little adrenaline rush with the racing or, you know. But the peace that comes from Jesus, that knowing I'm going to live forever, that my sins are forgiven, that I'm right with God. The world cannot give me that, cannot give us that. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Jesus also said to those people that were convicting him and getting ready to kill him, I spoke openly to the world. Jesus didn't hide himself, folks. Our worldview, should we hide ourselves from the world? Should we segregate ourselves from the world? Jesus did not. He spoke openly about the truth of God and the wisdom of God and eternal life and about sin. Jesus also said, my kingdom is not of this world. And when I focus on something outside of the kingdom, folks, what happens? Okay? We talked about just somebody driving in a way that just irritates us in our lives. Our kingdom is not of this world. For this cause I have come into the world, basically to say, I love you, God's word is the truth, I want you to have eternal life. In synopsis, our points this morning of our lesson, as the teachers once said, I should have points. So I'm trying to do that a little bit. Beginning passage, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given. As Jesus was praying for himself, he asked God to glorify him and that he could share eternal life. And I ask us in our lives, point number one of the lesson to remember this morning, are you praying for God to glorify you? Glorify him in your life and help others share eternal life. Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those to whom you have given me, for they are yours. Praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Praying for unity. Praying for unity. Folks, if we have a spirit in us that we just want to argue all the time, we need to repent. We need to drop on our knees and recognize that that's not the worldview Jesus wants us to have. There's times that Jesus reasoned with the scribes and Pharisees. There's times when Jesus pointed out sin. But how many times did he show love and compassion and pray for unity? You don't see him praying, Father, help me confront those people doing wrong. Help me to point out all their mistakes. No, that was just a byproduct of him trying to help people make it to heaven and unify people under his Father. And in closing this morning, do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one in them and I in them, praying for the world. I pray this morning this lesson from God's holy word has helped your worldview to be more like Jesus's. If it hasn't been, there's no better time now to make it right. If you haven't committed your life to Christ and had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, become a child of his. We invite you to do that this morning also. There's never a better time to make things right with God than right now as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning.